This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from the Texas A&M Bright Complex in College Station, this is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cypress Trail Hideout. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Weren't you, Todd Farquharson is out here with his A&M. I'm surprised you didn't wear your core outfit or your yell leader outfit. Do you have a yell leader outfit at home for you?
They don't let you keep them?
You play, you know, games.
Oh, no, please don't. Don't roll. Don't bring up role playing with Todd.
Okay.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Gina like that yell leader outfit you roll around
it.
In?
Stop it. There are volleyball players walking around. Stop it.
Oh, my goodness. Todd was like, ooh, Jimbo's here. Ooh, look, Jimbo.
I didn't get to ask, but it's interesting. He's been a head coach for a while now, but you got to be really comfortable in your own skin because anytime you walk into a room, everyone's like, head coach. Mm-hmm. You got to feel that. He probably doesn't feel it anymore, but when he first got that job at Florida State, I imagine when people start to straighten up or, oh, look, it's head coach. I wonder how you when you get used to that feeling of everyone noticing you anytime you walk into a room.
It's true, and well, most of the coaches I hang out with are like crap.
Oh, crap! They
give me a red cup because everybody is looking at me.
Yeah,
I need a red cup.
Yeah.
But I guess it's something when you're as famous as those guys are.
Particularly,
but you know what else comes with it? All the money.
Yeah, but particularly like Jimbo's coached in college towns his entire college career. Like some guys wind up in big cities. Like you can probably walk around. Like who's the head coach? Like Clay Helton can walk around Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But Jimbo's been in places where football is right. The main draw, and you just got to get used to it. I'm sure he's very comfortable doing it now.
Well, and you're absolutely right. Cliff couldn't go out.
No.
Because you don't
he was a legend.
Fishbowl. He was the number one guy in that city.
Yeah.
Like Dana is like 20th on the list.
He probably enjoys it.
And Kelvin Sampson, you know, those guys would be the number one guys in this city.
Yeah.
Right? And so, yeah, Jimbo's the number one guy in this city. So, yeah, it makes it that much tougher to go out and actually just be yourself and enjoy yourself. No question about that. And in the same when he was at Florida State, right?
Yeah, Tallahassee's the same way. Yeah. You're the big, particularly when you taking over for a legend, everyone's going to notice you. And then obviously he did his job, exceeded it, won national titles, won BCS at the time, bowl game. So hopefully that starts to happen here too.
Yeah. Man, you want to talk about how hard is that schedule?
I don't.
You add Georgia and I mean it starts with Clemson, Auburn, Alabama. That's the first half of the schedule, and the back half is Georgia LSU.
And you're going to LSU. You're going to Bama?
You're going to.
Were they at Bama or at last year?
You're going to Georgia. Bama's here.
Bama's here, okay. Yeah. And we are.
Auburn's here at Bama's.
We all know about Clemson. And you never know because some of these teams may fall off, but from the start of the year, you're looking at it like, wow. Like, they won 9 last year, correct?
Yeah, 9-4.
And if you look at that schedule and go, hey, they won 9 games. That's a good year. But there will be some who say, well, we need to take the next step. And if they're good, who's to say they don't run through? And to be honest with you, I mean, we're not in Auburn, Alabama, so it doesn't matter. I'm not sure about Auburn. It's a big year for Gus Malzahn there. A lot of turnover. They brought an offensive coordinator, but I believe he's going to be the one calling plays. I think that's an overranking, to be honest with you. Auburn's got talent. I'm not sure. They got quarterback questions as well. They're bringing in a new guy no matter who starts. I think that one might be an overranking. And partly it's because they're Auburn in the SEC, so they'll get that ranking. I don't know if they're the 16th best team in the country. We'll find out.
At Clemson to start the year, at Georgia, and at LSU to finish it. Yikes.
But that's what they signed up for.
That's right. No. You want to be the best. Yeah. You got to play. You got to beat the best. That's all. But.
And because of who they're playing, you lose a game, it doesn't matter as much. Not in this conference. You can find – now, in terms of maybe making an SEC title game, sure. But it'll be all about – that'll people look at that schedule. You win 10 games in that schedule. You may have had the best season in the entire country. You win 10 games in that schedule in the regular season.
Well, and a lot of people would have thought that Johnny, the best seasons were with Johnny. Last year was their best season.
Yeah.
They finished second in the division.
And you beat LSU.
Johnny never finished second.
And you never beat LSU until last year.
Right. So that's the first year under Jimbo. And you know what? He was, you know what? How they competed. That was That was totally sweet, and they did.
And there was no fall off in the back half of the year, which is what we've always talked about the last half a
decade
Mike with
them. Sherman?
Yeah, it's been it went past Sherman. Clearly, the Sumlins, well, that was his downfall. They found a way last year to not capitulate late, and I would imagine this entire program believes that LSU victory and the way it happened and how it happened is will be a catapult for this year, and we'll find out pretty early on. Clemson's up second. They certainly have a game before then, but they're going to Death Valley, and I do think because of Clemson's depth issues inside, I think that game will be closer than a lot of people expect.
Well, it was last year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that was because you played them close. Well, guess what? Nobody did. who played Clemson close?
No one. Only Syracuse and A&M, pretty much.
Yeah. Up until Syracuse, A&M had played them the best.
Yeah. And Syracuse, it took the game against A&M, they had both their quarterbacks who could have started. They had to go chase Bryce against Syracuse, and we saw. And now he made big plays. Credit to that kid. He saved possibly a national title. But A&M faced him at full strength.
Yeah.
And they almost won that game.
Yep, yep. All right, so here we are at Texas A&M. Just we got a bunch to do. We're still ahead. Billy Lucci is going to join us here at the bottom of the hour. Jamon Osborn is going to be here as well, the junior wide receiver. He's a team leader. Went to St. Thomas.
Yep. Did you notice how the room cleared out when Jimbo left?
Yeah.
Everyone's gone.
Everybody said, yeah, that's it.
It's okay. Well, it's over.
Well, because everybody's got to be like, oh, coach, I got to be around, make sure coach sees me.
What? That's not what it was.
You don't know that.
New athletic director, Ross Bjork, is going to join us at 9 o'clock. Mikado Hinson, an old friend, is going to be here at 9:30. Tim Lomax. If you want to know how to park a car, Tim Lomax will be here for you.
Well, I just got a text that says, howdy, Lance. Thank you so much for staying with us for Express Checkout. Should I just reply back, where's my truck?
I thought they already told you where your truck was.
Well,
dude,
they said,
where's my car?
They just said they have it. Yeah. So,
Buzz Williams at 10:30.
Yeah, I didn't. By the way, that howdy thing—it's everywhere. Like it's on signs, and when they greeted you at the hotel, it's howdy. I was like, I ain't playing that game with you.
No,
I'm not saying
friendship.
Howdy to you. I know. I'm not playing.
I say hello too. Yeah,
it's unnatural for me to say howdy, so I ain't playing that game.
Do you say howdy, John?
Oh, when they say howdy,
I always do.
When they say howdy to you,
what time?
No,
you
don't.
What time are you up? John does
4:30. I whoop.
John whoops.
I whoop. I howdy.
He's not supposed to.
I do it all.
You're not supposed to, though.
John will do that when he's in the long. When he's in the Longhorn.
He's a troll.
Suite.
He's a troll.
No, he's not a troll. When he's in the Longhorn suite, no. Bob Moses years ago when we were there, he's dun-dun. His horns were up.
Yeah.
Like, he's a chameleon.
Yeah,
he's a chameleon to get into the suites.
Chameleon is nice. The word is phony. He's a phony.
No. I'm a chameleon.
You're a phony.
You
whatever it takes.
Here's the problem. Here's the difference between me and you. I can adapt.
You're a confidence
with
man.
With different people.
I can adapt. I can adapt.
No, you can't.
I can.
You're
I can
the
deal.
Same.
I can deal. I can
and curmudgeon everywhere.
I can deal with the drunken lout here, or I can do a show with the teetotaler there. I can do anything. It doesn't matter.
No,
I can.
We're the
adapt.
Only two people you ever deal with. You go home,
I
eat
can
lunch by yourself, watch Netflix, and go to sleep. That's it.
I don't.
And then deal with me.
You
and
just reveal. You just laid out my day, and I don't see a problem with it. I feel like you're jealous. I felt like that was a perfect layout of my day, and I'm like,
he was slamming you, is what he was.
Was
doing.
He?
Yeah.
I felt pretty
you
good.
You don't take it that way.
Yeah, no,
that's the difference. You don't take it as a slam.
No.
You're like,
he goes,
what?
Oh no, you get to nap in the middle of the day. Oh, that really hurt, John.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
No. Yeah. Okay. While other people are dealing with people, you're laying on
well,
your
you
couch.
Know,
Longhorn Scott just texted. Finally, Dell and I start agreeing on something.
The howdy thing.
I just feel
I'm not in the community.
Like if you're not in Texas A&M, you're not supposed to say it. It just feels like that.
I'm not
to me.
Saying it's wrong for A&M people to say it. It's just not something I would say because I would probably stumble over the howdy. It wouldn't be great for me to say it.
This is a very friendly city. I mean,
it
the
is.
People are very, very friendly.
It was
always
nice.
Have been.
Yeah. Well, you're a Richmond Rosenberg guy, though. You can say howdy. I mean, right?
Well, you know, Richmond Rosenberg. I would put that more Aggie than anything. Richard Rosenberg. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the surrounding areas.
You grew up howdy.
No, my dad was coaching U of H. I didn't grow up howdy. It used to be battles about, what are you, Longhorn or an Aggie? Like, well, I'm Houston Cougar. And then the Baylor Bears like, well, I'm Baylor. My dad went to
Those
Baylor.
Two don't matter.
I went to – my dad went to – And then you get the Arkansas people out of nowhere like, oh, those Arkansas kids are rough on the playground.
Are you going to take your kids?
And then they're Siouxian and Piggin.
Because they used to be a Southwest Conference team.
Are you going to take your kids to one of those facilities where they deprogram people? Because you sent that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, did you hear this?
Yeah, we'll do it on the other
side.
Did
you hear this?
I got to hear this.
Those haters?
On the other side. But right now, we need to talk about your grill.
So Texas Grill Shop is having their big summer sale. And I got to tell you, I don't care if you are an expert and you've been grilling for years and years, or maybe this is something you just took up or you want to get started on grilling. You see all these great videos or pictures of what people are making and you want to be there too. Hey, you can be. Texas Grill Shop can get you started, because what they do is they get the very best grills on the market. And I mean the very, very best grills. Green Mountain Grills, the Memphis, the Pits and Spits. They've got the Big Green Egg, the XL, and the large and the XL versions. They've got Weber gas grills, the Saber infrared grills. They've also got Traeger, the second generation. And it all started with Traeger for me. I had never learned to grill. I didn't know anything about it. And my man Michael over at Pete's Fine Meat said, hey, you got to check out this Traeger grill. And before you knew it, I was meeting the owners of Texas Grill Shop. And it opened a brand new world to me of what you could do in terms of barbecue. And you get to set the temperature. It gets there perfectly and stays there. And you use real wood, mesquite, hickory, pecan, whatever you choose. They've got the wood ready for you, and you can become a barbecuing aficionado with all the rubs and marinades, and meat thermometer, anything that you're looking for, pizza stones. They've got pizza ovens there. It is truly a one-stop shop for all of your barbecuing needs, and that big sale is going on right now through the end of the month. Make sure that you go to TexasStarGrillShop.com. That's TexasStarGrillShop.com. Check them out for yourself. See the big barbecuing events they have coming up on the weekends. Or get on out to the store, Spring in Louetta, off of Spring, or right there at 2045 Southwest Freeway off of Highway 59. It's TexasStarGrillShop.com.
All right, time to talk about Oops. And how about this? So I know that y'all are slobs, okay, because you came to our listener appreciation party, and you spilled beer all over the carpets, okay? All over our carpets. So what did we have to do? We had to call Oops. And you know what Oops did? Oops came to the station yesterday, and they cleaned all the carpets. And it ain't easy getting beer out. It ain't easy. Well, I don't know why you all are urinating on your carpets, but apparently this happens quite a bit. And there's wine. All right, I know you're alcoholics. That's fine. So when you do spill your wine, when you do spill your beer, when you do urinate on your carpet, you call Oops, because they're here for you. They are going to be able to take care of all of your Oops needs. And that's why they're called Oops, because you spilled and it's gross. But here's the deal. What you need to do is actually clean your stuff. And you do that with Oops. And they're trained in background screen professionals. Employees, not contractors, will come to your home. They're not going to upsell you. You'll talk to somebody on the phone when you call 281-822-0561. And they'll tell you exactly what the people are going to do and how much it will cost. And they will come and they will get that job done professionally. OopsSteam.com. If you haven't cleaned your carpets in a while, if you haven't done it in a year, you need to do it. It's gross. OopsSteam.com, 281-822-0561.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from the Texas A&M Bright Complex in College Station. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Cypress Trail Hideout. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here live at the Bright Complex here in Texas A&M. Beautiful, beautiful facility. And we are brought to you by Cypress Trail Hideout, Papa Charlie's. Awesome, awesome, awesome. We're stopping on the way back.
Yep.
That's right. It's right by my boy Justin Blackhorse over there.
Pat McGinnity.
See if he wants to come over.
It's really good. I wish we had it right now, as a matter of
fact. Well, you can't wait? I mean, you want him to deliver?
I guess.
It's 8:22.
I guess.
It's an hour and 10 minutes away. I got it on my phone right here.
You already put it in?
Yeah, from College Station. It's your home. That's where the Ags all eat.
Let's be clear here.
Well, they got the big watch party. They're going to have the big watch parties there this year. That's
for
one
Aggie
of
football?
The things. Yeah, for Aggie football.
They're nice.
They're going to have watch parties every game
at
for
Papa
Aggie
Charlie's?
Football. Papa Charlie's.
When,
yeah.
When you go to Papa Charlie's and they put food in front of you, will you look at it and go, this is how I would do it, and then have a conversation with the person who puts it in front of you?
No,
is that something you only
do you
here?
Do you go to the owner back into the kitchen and say, listen, guys, can I give you a couple tips?
Yeah. No. If the owner or pitmaster's there, and if we start talking, we start
talking.
Why
would you talk about if you
why don't you just listen?
Because you're a nerd and you have to hear about how other people prepare their food. Why don't you just sit there and listen as opposed to, hey, you know how I do it? You know, because when Jimbo was here, I didn't say, hey, Jimbo, you know, when I play Madden, I run these plays. I didn't say that to
you
him.
You were dying to, though.
No, I
you
wasn't.
You were dying to.
Like, hey, Jimbo, I remember Florida State from 2014. You know how I defended them on college football?
Because you never
NCAA.
Played with them. Because
yeah.
you never played
no,
with them.
No, I say, you know how I would defend your squad on NCAA 14?
Right.
That never came up for me.
But look at you bringing it up now because you want to, though.
No, I don't want
yeah,
to.
There's
I'm comparing
want to.
What you're
and I'm
doing
I'm not scared
to
like you are. I will say what has to be said. You're afraid, and you're just leaving it there. You could tell Jimbo something about
how to
stop.
The point is how ridiculous it is. I wouldn't say I can stop Jameis if I used a rover with the Canes in 14.
But that's what you did, though, didn't you?
It's the same thing
with
your barbecue.
Did you do it?
No, I'm just making – this is a whole scenario.
No, you're not. Because you realize you're down the road now.
I wouldn't use a rover because they're straight 4-3, cover 2. I wouldn't use a rover.
No. What do you say? The Canes need to – no, you
– They're a man-under team in 2014. I wouldn't do that.
But you would have. And
no,
you know
I
what
wouldn't.
Else my, the Canes didn't do? Beat Florida State that year.
That's well.
Maybe if they had run your defense, they would. And that's my point.
No, that was
the beauty of it. You might have been right now.
My point is you actually think that logic might work for you. You know, if you cook the way I cook, your business would
that's
be more
That's not what
successful.
I say. That's not what I say. I'm just curious in their process. And sometimes they're curious about my process.
No, I don't think anyone's ever asked you first.
So you're curious in two things?
You're bi-curious.
What a shock.
I didn't
Granato,
say it. I didn't
what
say
a,
it. He
Granato recognizes the opportunity, and you come in
hey,
off
wait,
the top
he
rope.
Goes, he had to hammer it.
He was like,
this is what I love is that Dell acts like he's not that
hey,
guy.
Hey, D-Wade, throw that
he the, lets you do the heavy lifting so
was,
he can
this
do
was
it.
The Heatles 2013. Hey, D-Wade, throw that off the backboard for me.
No. John just lobbed it off the glass, and you dunked it.
Live
how about,
here.
How about the my I'm hater? How about my
like
hater
that.
Kids?
There's like girl, there's volleyball players walking around and stuff. Guys, I know they're volleyball players because they're tall.
What
they gotta be volleyball.
What do we say?
You're talking about bike.
You are talking. What
I
are
didn't
talking
say it.
About?
All I said it was you're
I'm
curious
talking about
in
barbecue.
Two
you can't. It's like saying, "Hey, LeBron, why'd you dunk that basketball? You can't throw it up for me and ask me not to dunk it."
That's a good point. That's a good point.
All right, so here we are, and we're hey. What?
Oh my God! We got Billy Lucci coming up.
Billy
right?
Lucci's joining.
Well, real quick before I want to tell you about work suites in a second. I do want to ask though. One of the things about the Aggies last year that I was most interested in was Kellen Mond. I think you have to have a quarterback nowadays. I just think you have to have a quarterback to get out of the pocket and make things happen in college. Football. Urban Meyer was talking about that. Just did you guys see his comments? If you don't have a quarterback, if you got a quarterback that is a statue in the pocket, you're pretty much dead in college football nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, and really, I would almost say it's not pro football, but in college football, it is really tough to win with a guy who does not have some ability to beat you with his feet.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence can scramble. Trevor Lawrence is a good athlete.
You but he's mostly in the pocket.
Tua, Jalen. Now, that's a tremendous amount of talent in that one place, but Baker could do it. You look, start naming the Matt Ryans of the world. That's going out. Kellen
what about
Mond
Herbert?
Is,
Herbert can move.
No, Herbert can move. He's a good athlete, too. It's rare
he's
to see
there,
the
but
guys.
But they're mostly pocket.
Like, I'll give you an example.
They're mostly pocket
Jarrett
guys.
Stidham was a pocket guy at Auburn. He could move a little bit, but he wasn't going to really hurt you with his feet. Not really.
No.
And he had to run a lot because his offensive line was terrible.
Yeah. West Virginia.
Greer took a zillion sacks. Greer got sacked a lot. That Iowa State game was one of the worst I've ever seen, just taking way
oh
too
my
many
God.
Sacks.
Well,
but he is what he is. He can also beat you down the field, but I think you're limited. There was only so much you could – like, if your offensive line doesn't hold up, you're dead. What are you going to do? You better really run the ball well. And I think when I watch Kellen Mond – you know, I said this before. Kellen Mond, when I first saw him, I thought of a young Colin Kaepernick at Nevada. He had the same body type, the same kind of a little erratic as a passer, but you saw the arm type, really dangerous getting out of the pocket. Last year, I thought he just really made strides being able to, you know, be confident from the pocket to throw the ball also. I know he can run. Can you win from the pocket when you need to? And I thought he did some of that.
Well, let's hope he's consistent. He's a lot more consistent throwing the football this year.
Yeah.
So that – if he is
it's still what he his area.
I mean, he's playing some unbelievable defenses. Let's see. He's got to grow. He's got to take one more step. I don't think there's any question. All right, Billy Lucci is going to join us here on the other side on ESPN 97.5.
I want to tell you about Work Suites, my friends over there. I got to meet all the different people who are running this Work Suites location, and I told them thank you personally because I know how important it is to have a space when you've got something that you really need. You need an office, and you say, well, I'm not a big company. I'm smaller, so I don't know if I can afford it. You can afford Work Suites. Trust me when I tell you that. Work Suites has five different locations in and around the Houston area. There's one right there off of Post Oak. I know you've got the Cypress location. You've got the location out in the Woodlands, and there are a lot of people, one in Sugar Land. There's a lot of people in the Sugar Lands and in North Houston who are deciding to take their office space out of downtown Houston, where it's such a difficult track to get there. It eats up a bunch of time in commuting, and they're saying, I want that time back. So what they're doing is they're getting a Work Suite office so that's their new office. They've got their own receptionist. They've got IT. They've got a great layout, brand-new location. So they got a great layout for their offices, and now they're getting more of their personal time back by not having to have those ridiculous commutes. Some people are doing it for downsizing purposes. Some are like myself. When I'm having that office space, what I need is a chance for me to just get everything I need, all of my work done in peace and quiet. I don't need anything getting, in my way from an attention standpoint. Work Suite allows you to do that, whether it's a micro office, a standard office, or even just a shared workspace if you're just going to be in for a few hours, 2 or 3 days a week. Work Suite has a solution for you, 4 months to 24 months, and they're going to give you 2 months absolutely free when you mention ESPN 97.5. It's worksuites.com.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from the Texas A&M Bright Complex in College Station. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cypress Trail Hideout. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we are back live at the Bright Complex here at Texas A&M. Still ahead. Billy Lucci, he's walking in the door right now as we speak. As a matter of fact, Jamon Osborne, the wide receiver, Ross Bjork, Mikato Henson, Tim Lomax, and Buzz Williams all talking a little Texas A&M. Get Lucci's what's his?
Tex-Aggs.
That's the number one
Aggie site.
It's by far the number one Aggie site here. And he's the founder, president, and Big Cheese here on – still Big Cheese here on campus. Although I imagine it's probably harder with the gray in your hair now for you to pick up co-eds.
I should have known that before I could even get right the headsets on. Yeah. Renato,
you were going to be getting laid out.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, you're right, though. I mean, I'm getting some heat from somebody to shave it right now.
Yeah.
But I told her I feel like I'll look like really weird. She thinks it'll make me look 5 years younger, but I'm like, I'd rather look 5 years older than look weird.
Yeah, because that's your thing. Yeah. You've been
who's to say you're not looking weird now?
If James Harden cut his beard,
but it's an understood weird now.
Yeah, everybody knows your weirdness now.
There's that weirdo.
Right.
Hey, but if you shave it, it's like, who is that weirdo?
I don't know if any – I've never heard the story about – when did you start Texas? How many people started it?
So they had a little website. I always joke with them because they were trying to sell it. And I was doing a thing called the Maroon White Report that just kind of – I had graduated college like a year and a half earlier and was doing this little publication that had already existed that the guy left to be at TCU. He actually works here at A&M now. He had been at Notre Dame, Miami, Bama. And anyway, Tex-Aggs was about to kind of maybe be no more. They were trying to sell
it. What year was this?
That was in 2000.
Yeah.
2000. So we went in and said, we're not going to buy y'all for a million. It was like Dr. Evil, $1 million. You know, but we said, but we would love to. They had a great thing in the actual site, and they had some real traffic. But they didn't have a revenue stream. I said, well, we've got the revenue stream. Let's go in there and do, we'll combine my premium content, my kind of insider stuff with your audience, and you guys promote it to them. We did share. Well, with the split, a couple of years later, we said, we're just going to buy the whole thing. And so the two original owners gave us their investors. We bought out the investors. So now, you know, we're all four even partners in it.
Yeah.
Nice. So, and that's been since about, oh,
it's almost 20, going on 20 years.
Well, you know, that's an interesting time when the bulletin boards and the message boards were really, they were heating up, but you didn't know what to do with it. You knew that you had a bunch of people, but no one could monetize. It was just a place where people came. And then I know that you guys in Texas and University of Houston, everyone had the premium content, but it was a matter of, well, what's on premium content? What do you get? And a lot of times it's going to be recruiting, obviously. But it is amazing at how Clutch Fans, which used to be Clutch City, I think it was ClutchCity.com, but Clutch Fans, Dave Hardesty, he started that in 96. I was on his message board, 96, 97, 98. And it's amazing what all these places, if you stuck it out and you put some time into it, it became, this is a job now. This can sustain you. This can make you money. This can be your thing. I don't think anyone ever envisioned that. Now there are college sites around the And TechSags is not independent. Are they still? Are you guys
independent? Yeah,
that's kind of rare right now, isn't it?
We're in a partnership with the Athletic. It's more of like a content share with the Athletic. I mean, there's no money.
So the Athletic must have come and partnered with a bunch of independent sites.
Well, actually, I'm not positive on this, but I think we're the only one they've done that with. And it was a compliment to us. And I love Andy and Stuart Mandel, and, of course, Bruce Feldman. You know, I've known them forever. Yeah. And so they knew this market, and they said, look, we're just going to – if we can work something out with you all, we'd rather do that than – and that I thought
they can't compete and try to cover with you. I mean, putting that kind of manpower into it.
So it was I took it as a compliment that of what we've done here. But it's funny, too, because I think our site and Tiger Droppings, I don't know if you've ever been on it, John, it's LSU and you too, right? It was – those are the two largest in the country in terms of traffic. And it's the – I don't know if Tiger Droppings has a subscription, do they?
I don't. I want to say they do.
We've
kind of
combined,
not.
You know, subscription and the free message boards. I mean, our free message boards have over 250,000 people, 2 million page views a day. So it's so much more than just my stuff,
you know,
and the insider stuff.
That's huge.
But it's fun, though. This time of year, there's so much more to talk about.
So, okay, so let's talk about it. Billy Lucci with us here on ESPN 97.5, TechSags.com. The talk here about Kellen, and we were just talking about him, consistency and whatnot. As this team goes, Kellen goes, this team goes.
I would agree. I would say that and the defensive backfield, because I could say, you know, they lost three games last year, and in two of those three, I mean, they lost four games last year, and three of those four, you could trace it right back to guys just right there to make plays on the ball that didn't just make the plays, but turn into catches and big touchdowns and key moments of games. But yeah, Kellen, you're right. I think he you could go out there for one day, and even if he makes a couple mistakes, you can still tell this is a better quarterback. He's more confident. He throws the ball with more, you know, belief in where it's going. He's quicker to get rid of it, and he knows the offense. You know, and that's the biggest thing, I think, with Jimbo Fisher, is that's a tough offense. And I think a lot of times fans, particularly A&M fans, forget he was a sophomore last year. You know, I see Ellinger on all the covers of the magazines based on that bowl game, and I look and I go, Kellen did a lot of the exact same stuff. He had some, you know, a couple of rough, and really his bad outings weren't even that bad, maybe at Auburn, but there was some.
That end of that game was bad.
Yeah, but it was worse, again, for the secondary. 275-yard drives in about a minute and a half each. And
His interception started that, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. That's why it's both of them, because you go back and look at every game they lost, and there's one or two kind of preventable turnovers, let's call them, and there's blown coverages in the secondary. But you watch him now, and he's different. He's a different guy. And you saw, if you really paid attention to A&M, he had two turnovers against Ole Miss, and it was dicey. It looked like you were going to lose at home to a bad Ole Miss team, and then I think he threw three touchdowns the rest of the way. His TD to turnover ratio after that was 14-1 the rest of the year. That's against the rest of Ole Miss, UAB, LSU, and NC State. So he finished on a high note, and I think that's carried over. The biggest thing I see, John, is he's a leader. He's out there with those receivers till the sun's gone down, with no lights. They're throwing where I don't even know if they can see the football, and he's kind of really embraced that. Would it shock you to say this is the first upperclassman quarterback that's returning to start for A&M since they joined the SEC? Trevor Knight came in as a grad transfer from OU for 1 year. He was here for a semester before. This is the first developed upperclassman quarterback A&M's had since Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, because Johnny was a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah.
In his second year.
Yeah. So it's crazy, though, to think they haven't started a junior or senior that's come through the program. We're going into year 8 in the conference.
Wow. That is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it holds you back. It holds you back. And so it's different now when you see him out there. And he's not going to be perfect. But I think this year, if there's a two-turnover game or if he throws an interception, it's not going to be the bad kind. It's going to be – well, you're going to do that sometimes when you're completing, like this, down the stretch against LSU, like down the stretch against Clemson, where there's just a higher degree of confidence and just, I'm going to take the snap and let it rip. And then sometimes there are going to be mistakes, but I think
they're good players on the other side.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be the bad mistakes like you mentioned the Auburn one, that.
That was a bad mistake.
Yeah.
What about Corbin? Is he going to get the workload? Is he ready for the workload?
I think so. I mean, in this conference, you don't know until you see it. He really brought them some juice last year, even with a 1,700-yard rusher and Travion Williams. There were a couple games where the running game was kind of stagnant, and then he popped. He'd come in and give a little change up. But he's really – if you guys go out there, you're going to see he's really explosive. I mean, home run type explosive, even in the SEC, and has filled out. But you're talking about a guy in Travion that ran it 275 times last year and touched it like 300 when you count the catches. Corbin is – one of the best pass-catching running backs I've ever seen come through A&M. He's going to be in this offense. I think he might catch double the passes that Travion did, but I think he's going to have a lot less carries. You've got some bodies to work with at running back this year, whereas last year I think you just had two. This year I think there's about there's four or five guys they can run out there to carry it. So I don't think he'll come close to that number of carries, but I think he's going to be – he'll be the most important aspect of A&M's running game. I think second will be blocking tight ends, which they really
well. You lost the freshman too,
Baylor Cup.
That hurt. Losing Vernon Jackson hurt because he was a guy. They flipped him from Alabama on sign day, and he was out here last year and looked good. So it's not even like he was a recruit. You saw him practicing and working out with the team. Said this guy's going to be something good, and then you lost him. So that was a blow. So Isaiah Spiller, the true freshman from Houston that they flipped from OU, he's had a really nice camp. And then Cordarian Richardson will probably be a guy to provide some of that power. Spiller's 220. Richardson goes about – he's probably like 240. So they're going to need those two guys, I think, to get a little bit of that banging between the tackles.
What about Kendrick Rogers is a guy who – when you watch the LSU game, you felt like he had about 200 yards receiving, and then you look at the stats, like he didn't get to 100, but he made a couple of unbelievable – like he took over in stretches of a game with unbelievable catches, but it's not consistent. Like the production didn't seem to match what I saw in flashes in games. Where are you with him, and what are your expectations this year?
My expectations are through the roof if he can be healthy, and he's been banged up throughout most fall camp again, so it's, that question is still there. I mean, if not, then I think you'll see him do that in couple, three games where he saves the day, and right. he can do it. I mean, you talked about LSU. He did the same thing against Clemson.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Made some incredible – I mean, if you took just his highlight reel against LSU and Clemson –
Oh, you think he might be the best receiver in the nation.
Yeah, and then in between, there wasn't a lot. I was really encouraged that in the bowl game, he scored a touchdown. You know, they threw one pass in the second half, but in the first half, he had like five catches for 55 yards and a touchdown. So that was encouraging to me because mm-hmm. he followed up that LSU game. But missed some time in the spring, missed some time now. So I don't know. Caleb Chapman has looked really good on the outside. Similar capabilities in playing above the defense and being able to make catches. But I think that might be kind of a position where both those guys, maybe at the end of the year, you look at both their numbers and kind of add them up and go, man, they got a ton of production out there.
Osbon's going to join us here. Jamon is going to join us here.
Love Jamon.
Yeah, in a couple of minutes. So we've got to take a break. TexAgs.com, that's Billy Lucci. You got to come on this year and hang with us.
Whenever. All right. Just not at 8:15. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
What the hell is wrong?
I'm kidding. You know what? With my – I would have been here at 8:15. I want it on the record that I was up.
Did the valet not bring your car?
Yes, I need a valet with all the tickets I get. But I live further away than you think. Did you guys go to bed at 8 o'clock last night?
No.
Then what were you doing? Why was I not here? I saw Raheel's tweet.
I was in Houston. These Jamokes were all here.
Your valet got up early.
Yeah, you damn right he did.
Come get you.
Bring my car, Jeeves. No, I'm not like Lance. I don't valet.
He's in a penthouse. What does he mean he's not like me?
No, okay, I don't have
a driver. He's literally
you
in
like
a penthouse.
Put your laundry down and shoot or something and they bring
the trash. Not the laundry.
No, they burn it and buy new clothes.
Trash.
Want me to put my
in
trash?
My old age with the gray goatee, I get up earlier, so I can. If you need me at 8:50, it's on y'all's schedule.
Yeah, you're sleeping like 4 hours a night now. That's how old you are, right?
I'm up. Ready to go.
Let's go. All right. Hey, as always, Lucci, we appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Billy
have
Lucci
fun
right
today.
Here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, though, let us talk about insurance, Lance.
Let's talk about TGS Insurance. TGSinsurance.com. So what they do is they specialize in homeowners insurance. And the reason they do that is because it's one of the industries where people have been just paying thousands more than they need to on a regular basis every single year. And why are they doing that? Well, it's just comfort and convenience. But what people really haven't realized for years is that there are a lot of different insurance companies out there, A-rated insurance companies, who don't spend the big money with the branding and this, that, and the other. But what they do is they do a great job of insuring people and paying off on claims when they need to and getting investigations done the right way and really just handling your peace of mind. And with TGS, what they ask you to do is text money to 232323. They get your address and they will send you an instant homeowner's insurance quote. And in many cases, this is going to beat what you have right now by a substantial margin. The average savings, believe it or not, is $870, but there are people who are saving $1,000, $2,000, and even $3,000. I've even had one guy here who listens to the show who saved $4,000 in 1 year because I don't even know what they were insuring. I was blown away by the number. So make sure that you take your shot and see if you can get better insurance for better prices with TGS Insurance. Simply text money to 232323. That's money to 232323.
Cypress Trail Hideout. We're heading there after the show. It's going to be fun. Get some brisket. It's right there on 290 and right off Fry Road. So come see us today. We'll be over there about 12:15.
Well, it's not really a gathering. It's just we want to go eat barbecue at Papa Charlie's.
Well, yeah.
And it's not like it's a radio event. We're just eating.
If you want to watch the Aggies, guess what?
Yeah.
That's where you're going to do it.
He's got watch parties every single week. We're live here at Texas A&M, and it's brought to you by Papa Charlie's. We thank them very much for powering this. They are going to be doing the watch parties there in Houston area, so they're very excited about that. Joining us right now, we're very excited about Get Hydrated, son. Get hydrated now. We got to hydrate.
That's right.
Every coach loves hydration is Jamon Osbon. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. So you're sitting in a big seat because last year in that same seat we had Travion Williams, we had Kingsley Kiki,
yes, sir.
We had, who else did we have? Daylon Mack didn't come by. Oh, Cullen Gillespie.
Yeah, Cullen.
Came by. All three of those guys are drafted.
NFL
Everybody
fullback.
Got drafted. Now, yeah. It might be the program.
Jamal, this is your turn now.
It might be the program. It might be our, maybe we're just good luck. Yeah. That could be what it is also as well. So, just that's telling you, big shoes to fill here.
31 catches last year. How many more? I mean, what are you looking at this year?
I just see the yards and catches left on the field, you know?
Like, yeah.
So I see 31 catches, but I also see the 40 catches we left on the field, the 2,000 yards we left on the field from just not seeing the big picture of the plays the first year in the offense. You know, just being it just seemed like we were freshmen last year again, just being in a new culture and a new organization.
What was that like for you going from the guy who had recruited you previously to playing for a new coach? And, you know, by all accounts, it was pretty different, the way that everything was handled. How did you transition? What was that like at the early stages and then by the end of the year? Because you guys have really struggled late in the year under Kevin Sumlin. The program had gotten off to really fast starts and then fizzled out late in the year, but that wasn't the case last year.
Yeah, one thing Jimbo does is he tells you every day. He coaches a player he sees in you and not the player he sees today. So it kind of is very hard for a guy to be pushed like that at a young age.
Why is that? Why do you think?
Well, just because nowadays there's like so much pressure on kids to make it to be what the social media says they're going to be and all this stuff. And Jimbo's like a guy who doesn't care about any of that. And
right.
He just wants you to be – he's going to ask the most out of you every day. And I think just – people don't see the big picture a lot of times. So when we're in a season, we play teams like Clemson and we lose by 2 points and he tells us the whole time we're better than them or – we have those plays. We can make those. We have those players. We can make those plays. It takes you to lose those games to see, and I think that's why towards the end of the year we started making those plays and being that big time team.
He wasn't just saying it; he meant it. And you could see, Coach was right. I mean, we were right there with Clemson.
Exactly.
I want to follow up real quick on something you said about social media. So this is something we always talk about, we hypothesize about. But you're a guy who lives it.
Yeah.
Sure. You've got people on social media. Tell us what you mean by that. About you want to live up or you've got this pressure on you from social media. What is that like as an athlete in this day and age from the time you're in high school to once you're in college? Give us an idea of what it's like.
Well, I mean, like we're 18, 19 years old coming to college. So you just feel like you can't make any mistakes. You know, not saying that it's like, you know, you're a teenager and everybody makes mistakes. But being at this age with this spotlight, it's so much pressure on you to be this perfect. You know, if you play 3 years, you're supposed to be out to the NFL. Mm-hmm. If you come in, you're supposed to be starting. And I think that with all these expectations built up from, like, this social media outside pressure, who has nothing to do with what you're doing on a daily basis, you have this pressure to do what you feel like you have to do. So when things don't go your way, you're in the transfer portal. You're leaving early, going undrafted, things like that. And it's just like Coach Fisher cancels out all that. That's kind of why we're all social media as of right now, because we don't have time to – worry about those distractions and what people have to say about us, because at the end of the day, we're the only ones putting this work in.
That's the best way to approach that. Yeah.
You talk about social media.
Yeah. Don't get on.
Yeah, did you? Now, you were committed to LSU at one point. Did you do that decommitment on social media, or did you call a reporter?
No. I called Coach Craig.
Okay.
And I talked to him about it. I didn't decommit online, but I did recommit online.
So okay. And did you – because I just mentioned that because I'm going to start a podcast called Respect My Decision. That's what a lot of kids write at the end of their decommit. So social media, when that news broke that you were no longer committed to LSU, did you get an influx of LSU and A&M people all at the same time just with different reactions?
Yeah, more so LSU.
Yeah,
more
the
so
hate?
LSU. Yeah, because before I committed to LSU, I was actually – it was like A&M LSU, so no one knew where I was going to go. But, I mean, this is – like, I see the Respect My Decision, all that stuff. And I was there, so I can't sit here and say I don't understand. But it's just not what it's made to be. Like it's just not – once you get here, all that stuff dies down. And the ones who have trouble with growing up are the ones who can't get out of that false reality fast enough. Like, none of that stuff matters when you get here. I can't really – emphasize that enough.
Yeah. Jamon Osman with us here on ESPN 97.5. We were just talking about Kellen, and Billy Lucci gave his perspective of it. From your perspective, the way that he finished and now this camp, what kind of step has Kellen taken?
Man, I've seen Kellen since junior year in high school, so I've seen a lot of him growing up. From last year, you know, I'm watching a film yesterday, actually, versus Clemson, and it's just like so many plays left on the field, like just not seeing the big picture, like, you know, in certain coverages, is an automatic read to look to this side, you know what I'm saying? Even though we have pressure, It's just your eyes being in the right place. And I feel like this camp has really slowed down the game for him. Just with the coverages and reads and knowing what you're getting on certain downs and, you know, third down, and probably going to get some kind of man coverage with a blitz, checking the ball. And he's just understanding the game more at a higher level, at a faster level. So it's allowing him to get the ball out of his hands easily, and his accuracy is getting a lot better.
Absolutely. Well, and he finished, Luch said, after the couple interceptions against Ole Miss, 14 touchdowns and one interception against LSU and North Carolina State.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, that, finishing strong.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. I think Kellen, you know, he knows how to finish things, or just kind of like he knows how to – when his back's against the wall, he knows how to come out and finish. But I think the biggest thing for him is just coming out the gate strong, so we don't have to do that sometimes. So I think practice has been a big emphasis on just coming out strong and not having to have your back against the wall to compete like that.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned you've been with him since junior year in high school. That was at IMG.
Yes, sir.
Grew up in Houston. So what was that? What went into that decision to travel halfway across the country?
It was sophomore year. We were committed to Baylor together, so we're just always talking. And then I ended up playing for St. Thomas in Houston my junior year, and I had played my championship game. We had lost, and I was just really down, and someone came up to me. It was IMG Coach Bartell, and he came up to me and was like, just giving me the opportunity to go down there. And I'm just like, what better way to go down there than with my future college quarterback? And it was a big decision, but I feel like it isn't getting any better than that, just going to college, playing against the best athletes. And I'm playing private school ball versus nationally the best ball in the country. So
I don't think a lot of people even know about what IMG Academy is, Del. It's something I've become very aware of the last 3 years in doing my draft stuff is Isaac Nuada, the tight end from – was a
Georgia.
Big five-star coming out of there. I mean, that is a sports factory, the IMG Academy. Did it prepare – did you ever have any second thoughts or did you ever second-guess yourself once you went – How difficult was that at that young of age to not have some homesickness?
Yeah, you definitely get – like, it's all about what you – like, why you went there. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first thing. So the guys who went back home probably only came there just because of the hype and all the, you know, five-star – all this crap, you know what I'm saying?
So, right.
But a guy like me is like, you know, once I get homesick, I'm like, what am I going home to? You know, there's a lot of kids who have a background where – you're not going home to anything. Like, you don't have anything to, you know. So it's like, this is the best way to put me in the best position to provide for my family at a higher level, get my mind ready to be in a college, college football. So I think that a lot of people see the four-star, five-star, but IMG actually produces great men, putting you through certain challenges at a young age.
Great stuff. Jamon Osmond. We're looking forward to this season, man.
Thank you.
A lot more catches and a lot more wins.
Yes, sir, a lot more wins.
A lot more. Yeah.
You
lot
missed
more
four games. Which games did you miss?
Auburn, South Carolina, Mississippi State, and Kentucky.
Those are all big ones.
Yeah.
You missed some big ones.
There ain't no small ones.
No.
There's never small ones. There ain't no small ones.
Yeah, Kentucky game was they could have used you. That was some physical football going on in that game.
We got a lot more this year, a lot more wins.
Yeah. Man, we appreciate it, Jamon.
Thank y'all for having me.
Thank you, Jamon Osmond, right here on ESPN 97.5. Great stuff.